नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Chant together text 10 from Canto 11, chapter 16, the Lord's opulence. Aham gatir gati matam kala kalyatam aham gunanam chapyaham samyam Guni nao patiko gunaha. Aham gatir gati matam. Kala kalyatam aham. Gunanam chapyaham samyam. Guni nao patiko gunaha. Ladies, please. Aham, I am. Gatihi, the ultimate goal. Gati matam, of those who seek progress. Kalaha, time. Kalyatam, of those who exert control. Aham, I am. Gunanam, of the modes of material nature. Also, api, even, aham, I am, samyam, material equilibrium, gunini, in the pious, outpatika, natural, gunaha, virtue. Translation, I am the ultimate goal of all those seeking progress, and I am time among those who exert control. I am the equilibrium of the modes of material nature, and I am natural virtue among the pious. And next few verses, text 11. Among things possessing qualities, I am the primary manifestation of nature and among great things. I am the total material creation among subtle things. I am the spirit soul and of things that are difficult to conquer. I am the mind. Text 12. Among the Vedas, I am their original teacher, Lord Brahma. And of all mantras, I am the three-lettered Omkara. Among letters, I am the first letter, A. And among sacred meters, I am the Gayatri Mantra. Now, I was assigned to speak on these three verses, but there's no purport. So can I break the rule here and just go to where there's a purport? Yes, okay, thank you. Text 13. Among the demigods, I'm Indra. And among the Vasus, I'm Agni, the god of fire. I am Vishnu among the sons of Aditi. And among the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva. One sentence purport. Lord Vishnu appeared among the sons of Aditi as Vamana Dev. Text 14. Among saintly Brahmanas, I am Brikhumuni. And I am Manu among saintly kings. I am Narada Muni among saintly demigods. And I am Kamadhenu among cows. Text 15. I am Lord Kapila among perfected beings and Garuda among birds. I am Daksha among the progenitors of mankind. And I'm Aryama among the forefathers. And text 16, my dear Uddhava, among the demonic sons of Diti, know me to be Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly lord of the Asuras. Among the stars and herbs, I am their lord, Chandra, the moon. And among yakshas and rakshasas, I'm the lord of wealth, Kuvera. Almost done. Text 17. I am Airavata among lordly elephants, and among aquatics I am Varuna, the lord of the seas. Among all things that heat and illuminate, I am the sun, and among human beings I am the king. Purport. It is significant to know that Lord Krishna is represented within this universe by the Lord or Supreme in all categories. No one can be as aristocratic and perfect as Sri Krishna, nor can anyone estimate the glories of Sri Krishna. Lord Krishna is without doubt the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So just to take the short message from this brief purport, similar to the introduction to the topic of Vibhutis, he's the superlative amongst everything. He's the king of everything, whatever there is. So some of the discussion from yesterday that I feel it's a little carryover is warranted, specifically because Vibhutis, we discussed, they're from what was presented in the first canto about Vibhutis, they're the superlative manifestations within material creation. But interestingly, Krishna says here, speaking of the soul, that's certainly not part of the material creation. Souls don't come into being and go out of being. Among subtle things, I am the spirit soul. Now, of all mantras, I am the three-lettered Omkar. That's not come into being and go out of being. And the Gayatri Mantra, because it's the Vedas, it's also not temporary. Maybe manifest temporarily, but it's not temporary. And then Lord Kapila. So, I am Lord Kapila among perfected beings. So there are dimensions to this vibhuti description by Lord Krishna that are not just the superlative amongst the material manifestations, because we read yesterday, they're just like this thing with living beings, or living entities, rather. In some cases, it refers to the temporary body, and in some cases, it refers to the soul, which is the living entity. Both are the living entity terminology. I thought I would do two other things specific to yesterday's discussion also. Taking the assistance of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur from the reference that's there in Bhagavad Gita. And I was reflecting on Ragatmika's question yesterday, and I'm not really sure I understood the question correctly or gave the right answer, depending upon if I understood the question correctly or not. At the conclusion of chapter 10, which is the opulences of the Absolute, the last two verses speak of Anksha or Ankshena. So in text 41, the Anksha, the part of Krishna, has to do with his Teja Anksha, Mama Teja Anksha. It's a spark of his splendor, which is his Shakti. And then the next verse, that translation, know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. That's the Teja Anksha. Spark of his splendor. Mama Teja Anksha. So it's his, that's his Shakti, his Teja, his power. And then in the next verse, Anksha is also used. Ekankshena Sito Jagat. Ankshena, that's the supersoul that pervades everything. With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. And we heard yesterday that it's the presence of supersoul that gives the opulence to whatever is opulent. He's the basis and support. He's the pratishtha of that opulence. It comes from him, and therefore, in the non-different sense, the opulence is him, because it's his. There's difference between the opulence and the possessor of the opulence. That's the different part, but the non-different part. So he pervades and supports the entire universe, but it's but a spark of his splendor that indicates the listing is innumerable. So anything that's opulent is his, and it's from him. So I want to just share, because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's translation is been made available by Bhanuswami. So I'd like to read it for me, at least it helps clarify the vibhuti topic, because we discussed yesterday, there was one of the questions was, when there's some opulence exhibited, is it due to karma or is it due to Krishna investing someone with some opulence? And they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. So here's from text 41, these are the last two verses of that chapter. This is the rendering of the translation. Whatever object in past, present, or future displays three things: majesty, vibhuti mat, beauty, shri mat, and strength. Arjitam, whatever manifests those three, know that has arisen from just a fragment of my power. So, those who are pious, they may be endowed with something, some strength, some beauty, some power of some kind or another. What this verse is saying is it's arising from a spark of my splendor. So, piety or manifesting vibhuti could be considered either way. Specifically, somebody can have some opulence and it's not the superlative of that opulence. In that sense, that's what vibhuti is. But even if it's less than the superlative, or like the strongest person, or the greatest powerful person, that's arising from Krishna's teja. Here's his commentary. In this verse, the Lord gathers together all the vibhutis, which he did not mention, whatever object, sattvam, exists, which has powers, vibhuti mat, abundance of beauty, srimat, or strength, urjitam. Understand that the object gains its perfection, or sambhavam, by a particle of my shakti, mama teja anksha. One should consider that all these are non-different from me by being under my control, I and mine, and being pervaded by me, which is the next part, which is the verse from yesterday. It's super soul that pervades and supports everything, and he pervades and supports the vibhutis. Without super soul, no vibhutis. With super soul, vibhutis. And then the next verse, this is super soul, this question was arising, is it super soul or is it the Purusha avatars? Remember that Alachua question? So here's Vishwanath. Last verse of the chapter, text 42. But what is the use of knowing all these individual vibhutis, Arjuna? Please understand, by just one portion of myself, I am firmly established in this universe. Anyway, without reading. His commentary says both Paramatma and the Purusha avatars. He doesn't make the distinction, because one is the expansion of the other in any case. I'll read it, it's nice. What is the necessity for you, Arjuna, of this knowledge of vibhutis, which are being taught one by one? O Arjuna, I remain firmly fixed within all the universes, headed by Shiva and Brahma, which are composed in matter and jivas, since I create them by my power of creation and contain them by my power of containment. I pervade them by my power of pervasion and maintain them by my powers of maintenance. By just one of my parts, the three Purushas, as Antaryamis, Prakriti, Samasti Jiva, and Vyasti Jiva. It should be understood that creation contains these four things or terms that are within the verse 42. Are all my vibhutis, since I pervade everything, all wonderful and powerful objects should be understood as my vibhutis. So that's pretty much all-inclusive, you know, good karma and whatever else is there. Even, you know, amongst daityas, I'm Prahlad. So that's not good karma to be a daitya. But Prahlad is not just a good karma person, he's a pure devotee. So whatever there is, the superlative of whatever it is, which is what the purport that we read this morning says. That's why I wanted to read these. I'll just read the purport again. It is significant to know that Lord Krishna is represented within this universe by the Lord or Supreme in all categories. No one can be as aristocratic and perfect as Sri Krishna, nor can anyone estimate the glories of Sri Krishna. Lord Krishna is without a doubt the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that listing of vibhutis in chapter 10 is a response to Arjuna's question after concluding, you're the Personality of Godhead. Please describe ways in which I can always remember you. It's interesting because there's many ways to advise Arjuna from Krishna how to remember him. But he chooses something very practical, and that something very practical is what you see in the world. See what you see in the world as Krishna, or in the sense that it's Krishna's vibhutis. I've had the good fortune of associating with Rabindra Swarup Prabhu from time to time when he gives classes, and one of the classes that I've heard him speak on several times, something that was meaningful to him when he was a PhD student in philosophy. His attempt to understand, because he was a philosophy major and is philosophically inclined, what did Prabhupada mean when he said, a devotee doesn't see a tree, only they see Krishna? So what does that mean? You know, as a philosopher, does it mean they don't see the tree, they see Krishna? So everywhere there's a tree, there's no tree, it's Krishna. And then if you expand that, it's every blade of grass and everything. Krishna, 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 just Krishna. Or does it mean, or what does it mean? You see that there's super soul within by knowledge. So at least one of the ways Prabhupada explains, you see things in relation to Krishna, you don't see things as separate from Krishna. Because a very simple definition of material is to see something apart from Krishna. And spiritual is to see in relation to Krishna. So you see things in relation to Krishna. And that's how a devotee sees. They see in a Krishna conscious way everything in relation to Krishna. And then we had this other little discussion about the Paramatma versus Bhagavan feature. So Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaksa Daiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yang Shama Sundaram. There he is. When you look at a tree, do you see Shama Sundaram? Well, depends. It depends on the Lord's revelation, certainly. But then, you know, the qualification for the Lord's revelation is Shuddha Bhakti. And when they see, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw in the sand dune, Chatak Parvat, he saw Krishna. and many other nice examples when seeing the form of Lord Jagannath. He saw Krishna. He saw Krishna. In his dreams he was seeing Krishna, or in his states of ecstasy he was seeing Krishna. So in that case, it's certainly the Bhagavan form. But we don't see a tree, we see Krishna, can mean in a simple form exactly what this Vibhuti chapter is indicating. Whatever there is that's in this world, in its supreme form, that's Krishna. So even the less than supreme form, it's also Krishna. Living entity is also, in a non-different sense, is Krishna, the soul, the avatars, and so forth. What is there that isn't Krishna's? Like we mentioned yesterday, there are these two things, Krishna and Krishna's, and there isn't a third thing. So on the authority, at least the descending authority of Krishna's words, you see Krishna, because it's all Krishna, in the sense that it's all Krishna's. Not by mental adjustment, but by devotion. Devotion arising from descending instruction from Krishna and disciplic succession, one can see through that lens and see Krishna everywhere. Or conversely, where is there something that's not Krishna or not Krishna's? No such thing. So even bad things, anger, gambling, and so forth, that's Krishna's too. It may be a misuse of Krishna's energy by the living entity's misuse of free will, but that can't happen without Krishna's sanction either. So I'm ready for the actual question period on this lovely topic. I see several hands, but I saw... Okay.
Sons of Aditi, and then the commentator says, well, Vamanadeva is the son of Aditi. The two, it's not the same. They're 12 Aditi.
What's not the same? What's different? What's the difference?
Well, the reference was Vishnu is also the son of Aditi.
Of course.
And they're 12 Adityas. So he's one of those 12 Adityas.
Yeah.
So that's why he is always referred to as of the sons of, or of the Adityas and Vishnu. But Vamanadeva also is the son of Aditi, that was, he was born later. Of course, they're the same and different, right? But I was thinking that when he was saying that Vamanadeva is the son of Aditi, It was not the same as referring to Vishnu as the son of Aditi also.
Well, that's a nice, interesting opinion.
Well, you know, I mean, you have the 12 Adityas.
I heard the statement, but
demigods.
But can you take the microphone from him? For example, Prahlad is speaking to Lord Nrisingadev as Vishnu. He's seeing the form of Nrisingadev. So he's Nrisingadev. But he sees him as Vishnu. He sees him as Vishnu, although he sees the form of Nrisingadeva. And Vishnu, by the way, is a Purusha avatar, not the Lord of Vaikuntha, where Nrisingadeva presides in Vaikuntha. But that, so it's not really a problem, unless you want it to be. Because the Lord of Vaikuntha, Narayana, through various procedures, expands as Vishnu, and he's identifying Lord Nrisingadeva as Vishnu, because he's a Vishnu Bhakta. But he's a resident, he's a Vaikunthavasi. So I think your hair is splitting. And next question. Next, over here. Yes.
Maharaj, I was thinking that Jiva Goswami Pad.
We missed you yesterday. We were having a blast yesterday.
I'm sorry.
I'm just commenting. Your presence is very welcome. I should say it that way.
I was listening to your Pad.
Okay, I'm not complaining. I'm appreciating.
We love you, Maharaj. I love you.
Okay. You got it.
I was thinking Jiva Goswami Pad quote that verse to see this absolute truth in combination of these four together. He says, Ekam eva parama tattam sarvada tadrupa sarupa sarvada sarupa tadrupa bhaivava jiva pradhan rupen. So when you see Krishna, he said, you're seeing actually all this together.
Uh-huh.
That includes his original form.
Yes.
His expansion, Paramatma.
Yes.
And the Jiva Shakti.
Yes.
And Pradhan, or
yes,
Na Shakti, all together. Otherwise, he said, this verse defy the difference between the Vaishnavas and the rest, Mayavadi person, whatever is there.
I want to add to that. Is that all right? The add to it is apashat purusham purnam. The foundational verses of the Bhagavatam are based upon Vyasadeva's realization, and in simple language, apashat purusham purnam. Purusham purnam includes all those things. Includes specifically, Jiva Goswami says, Radharani, in the course, because just like, very simple metaphor, when you see the moon, you say, oh, the other evening I saw the full moon. Oh, and by the way, I also saw the effulgence around the moon. It's implied. You see the full moon, you see the effulgence around the moon. And where there's Radha and Krishna, so it's the effulgence of Krishna, or the energy of Krishna, where Radha and Krishna aren't alone, they're in Goloka, and Goloka means the cows and the cowherd boys and Govardhan Hill and River Jamuna. You know, he saw the whole shebang and the living entities and his external everything. Purusha, Purnam, the whole material creation. It was quite a vision. More than, universal form. He saw everything. Everything. And then you can have the long list. And what's excluded? Everything is included. Yeah? So, is it a good question?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, we'll find out.
Yesterday,
I was teasing you, that's all.
Okay. Yesterday in your class, Madan Mohan asked the question, can you upgrade from Paramatma realization?
Yeah, I remember that one.
And you, the way you answered it was that the Paramatma can become Krishna. Now, did you mean that
the Paramatma can become Krishna, but go ahead.
Did you mean that Paramatma vacates and Krishna comes?
No, I didn't mean that. I didn't say that either. I said Krishna reciprocates with the surrender or the mood of devotion that one has towards him. So one may see this, one may see that, depending upon the mood of devotion.
But the thing is that Vishnu is missing all the qualities of...
He manifests according to one's devotion. What's the problem?
I don't understand how Vishnu can... I understand how Krishna can turn into any Vishnu.
He doesn't turn into anything. He is everything. He manifests according to the devotion of the devotee. Let's do this. Kardama Muni, right? What form did he see? Vishnu, riding in the back of Garuda. Because that's his bhakti. And he had as his son, Kapila. He said, I'll become your son. And so he saw Vishnu, just like Prahlad saw Vishnu in the form of Nrsingadev, Kardamuni saw Vishnu in the form of Kapiladev. But, you know, it's within the Bhagavatam. It's not like, okay, oh, we'll park Vishnu over there and Krishna's somewhere over here. The fullness is there in Krishna, and Krishna manifests according to the regard and affection, the devotion. Isn't it?
How could Vishnu manifest Swayam Bhagavan Krishna?
Your question is misleading. Or you have a prior assumption that makes the question misleading. It's not that Vishnu upgrades. What is it, just like, you know, what's the absolute truth? The absolute truth is Krishna. He's that from which everything comes, including Vishnu. So according to one's regard for the absolute truth, one sees accordingly, because Krishna reciprocates with that affection of that devotee. So it's not he changes, you know, himself. He's just reciprocating with the affection of his devotee. Is that all right?
Yeah.
It's Krishna.
I understand.
It's Krishna.
On three levels.
It's Krishna. And he manifests Vishnu or Kapila or Nrsingadev according to the regard of his devotee. I think we need to take the microphone away from him.
Over here.
Ramiya. Okay, we'll get the other side in just a moment. We got popcorn over here.
I was wondering, you were mentioning specifically Lord Chaitanya seeing the Parbat Hill and other activities. So at that time, is he only seeing the uppercut, Lila, and he's only in the internal energy, and therefore the external energy is no longer perceiving that?
I'll send him a text message and see which one it was. My understanding is he's absorbed, same as this question here. He's absorbed in the highest stages of love for Krishna. And in reciprocation, because he's Krishna, but in the mood of Radha, so he manifests that feature. For the affection of his devotee, or you know, Radha, he shows his Krishna form. He just sees within the internal potency. Does that answer your question? It's just the internal potency reciprocating with his love, which is true for any of us, or for devotees. That answer the question? Jai Gopal, and then over on the ladies' side.
In regards to the idea of Krishna and Krishnas, and then there's Krishna and Krishnas, that's all there is. So there's the living entities, and it's kind of easy for us to see, like, I don't possess anything. You know, my body is temporary, or my family is temporary, my possessions, etc., but is there something, and I'm thinking in terms of like desire, is that something that's inherently unique to the individual soul?
Free will.
Correct.
Free will.
In the Damodar Leela pastime.
Yeah, it's free will. The answer is free will.
Right.
And so, depending upon the exercise of free will, there's desire.
Right.
Desire that's spiritual, desire that's material, depending upon the exercise of free will. Prabhupada's phrase, I like it, desire is concomitant with the soul. Just like consciousness is of the soul. So, which direction desire goes is dependent upon the free will exercise. So that's something that isn't... Since the soul is Krishna's, what can we say is ours? Well, Krishna doesn't interfere with our free will. you can say Krishna gives it to us, but that's not even grammatically correct because it's of the soul. Because gives it, he can take it. It's of the soul. That's ours.
So the only thing we have is Krishna.
The only thing we have is our free will and our choice of being with Krishna or in La-La Land. That's our option. Varieties of La-La Land. On the ladies' side, Ragamika. Alach was a very special place. Go ahead.
In one of the verses that we read this morning, it said, I am time among those who exert control.
Yeah.
What's your understanding of that? Why these two are connected, those who exert control and time?
Well, when we're done with class, we're going to most likely get up and go somewhere. And to do that, that's a little, you know, we'll go find our shoes and then go to where the next place is. So we have some control, you know, tiny, whether you get up and walk across the room. So there's the bigger picture of those who are controllers, but they need time also to do the controlling. And we need a little, you know, less time to go get our shoes. And then supposing somebody takes your shoes. So our controlling capacity is very tiny. But to whatever degree there's some controlling, time is required. That's my understanding. To have anything, to have material, anything, material existence, it doesn't happen without time. Or say it in reverse. If you were Mahavishnu for a day, and you wanted to bring the end of the cosmic manifestation, what would you do? You withdraw time. And by withdrawal of time, the whole thing collapses. It's withdrawn. Because you need time to have creation, and part of creation is control of a little something, or a medium something, or a big something. That's my understanding. Time is necessary for any activity. Any activity has some modest degree of control. Time is needed. Anything else on the ladies' side before we move? Go ahead.
So I'm wondering if Krishna is using like a metaphor with Arjuna when he's saying, of all these things, I am the greatest, since, like, he's everything, you know, material energy is Krishna's, like you were saying. So is it a metaphor, or?
Which a metaphor?
Of all these different categories, I am the greatest within each category.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by your question, because, like, let's say for mountains, Himalayas, Mount Everest is above sea level, it's the tallest. So it's not imagination.
No, but all mountains are Krishna. I mean,
okay,
it's all
but,
like his material.
But that's the superlative of the height of mountains, because mountains are earth that rise above sea level. I'm not sure what your question is. Are you?
So, I mean, I'm just wondering if that's a metaphor. Like,
no.
Because he's everything. So.
Yes, but then out of everything, he's the superlative of everything. He is everything, and he's the superlative of everything. It's not a metaphor. I mean, I've never met Aichaishrava, but I've heard about him. And of horses, he's the best. So, he's the best. It's not a metaphor. You know, then you could analyze what makes him the best, but it's not a metaphor. He's the best. He is everything, and he's the superlative of everything. Not a contradiction, it's not metaphor. Of trees, I am the such and such tree. Okay, go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. In the verse of today, Krishna is saying that I am Daksha. And how can we consider Daksha superlative with all the things we know that he did?
Well, because he's Daksha. He's expert. And he is really expert at being a progenitor. I mean, 10,000 sons in one shebang? And then 1,000 sons, then he changed the channel, then it was daughters. Who can do that? He's expert. Yeah, just tee to tee. I mean, just you're in line. Over here, Mataji.
As far as you mentioned, the only thing we have as a living entity is free will. That is really ours.
It's the only thing that's our possession that isn't taken from us.
Yeah. So how do you define the free will? I don't understand what is the free will in that regard. That so if we surrender to Krishna, so if we don't surrender to Krishna, then punishment is practically awaiting the living entity. So how is it?
There's consequences for free will, but doesn't take away or give you free will. It's intrinsic to the soul. Of the soul is this property of free will. Why? Because it's there in Krishna. He has unlimited, so we have limited free will. That's ours. Krishna doesn't take it.
But if we don't decide to surrender to Krishna, then
there's consequences.
Krishna doesn't really want that we don't surrender to him.
That's right. He said there's consequences. He gives us reminders. That was a poor choice. That doesn't take away the free will. We can keep choosing forever. There's this idea, some people ask Prabhupada, will living entities eventually go back to Godhead? Not necessarily. They could stay forever in the material world. Krishna doesn't interfere with that. It's intrinsic to the soul. He doesn't interfere with it. There's consequences. But it's yours. It's each of our decision. And then the 10%, 50%, 90%, it's our decision. It's a free will choice. And then in the spiritual world, there's varieties of choices. You know, it's according to our nature. We have our nature. We're making choices, even in devotional service. Isn't it? And then Krishna reciprocates. That doesn't take away the free will that Krishna reciprocates. It's just him. We have this relationship and he's reciprocating. You go away from him, and he reciprocates, okay. Yayatam amprapadyante. Without exception. Tamstadaiva bhajamyaham. As they bhajami Krishna, he reciprocates. Doesn't give or take free will, it's of the soul. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not so sure.
So then, the mission of the Guru Parampara is to practically, so we go to the living entities and we try to persuade them to change
their free will,
nature of their free will, or the choice they take.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Because it's what Krishna wants.
Yes.
So we try to persuade
them. Yes. And they can say yes or no, or maybe, let me think about it.
Or they choose another religion.
Like sure, they can do with all kinds, they have free will. Largely, once you say no to Krishna, the range is vast of, you know, say no to Krishna. But even supposing there's someone that's genuinely following a tradition that's from Krishna, they'll achieve spiritual perfection within that, you know, within the capacity of that teaching to give them connection with Krishna. Okay. We've got a number of hands and we have limited time. But Janmashtami is very enthusiastic.
if we look at just prior to the Chaturshloki in Gita, Krishna says, one who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mine engages in unalloyed devotional service.
Right.
Of this there's no doubt.
Right.
And it goes on with the first of the Chaturshloki, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to me and they derive great satisfaction and bliss. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped one.
You skipped one.
Sorry. I'm the source of all spiritual material worlds. Everything emanates from me.
Right.
The wise who know this perfectly, who perfectly know this, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Now, so it's obvious that the vibhutis are an important element.
Yes.
Of our capacity to make spiritual advancement.
Yes.
But also, you know, just based upon the discussions in the last 2 or 3 days, not many devotees have formatted their subtle bodies to really think in those terms. It's almost a little bit of an alien concept. So my question...
Sounds like a commentary.
What's that?
Sounds like a commentary, not a question.
Well, I have a question.
Oh. What's the stick to bang on the devotee's head so they get it, or what?
What's that?
What's the size of stick we need to bang on devotee's head so they get it?
Well, maybe something like that, but... But I'm speaking also for myself, observation. I don't think in these terms so much. And I realize this may, you know, obviously because it's stressed so much by Krishna.
Yeah.
Here in this chapter and also in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. What my question is, it's kind of a devotional practical question. How do we reformat our thinking
practice.
So that we actually get to this platform?
Practice.
I'm sorry?
Practice.
Yeah, okay.
Hearing, let them, you know, shinvanti gayanti grananti, that's what we do. We're doing it. Shinvanti gayanti is a little slower, the grananti part is a little slower. But resisting, shinvanti gayanti, hearing and chanting. With rapt attention, and then how do we do rapt attention? To purport Bhagavatam says that one. So we have to get our act together and that which helps us to get to rapt attention. And very important, that the eagerness to know, not information-wise, but devotion-wise, gets stronger. And that comes from associating with devotees that are living here in Alachua, that are really interested not just in information. They're interested in coming to the stage where what you just described is not so readily done. They want to get to the other side of that. It requires work. Krishna consciousness is not for lazy people or complacent. You won't progress if you're complacent. There has to be an eagerness to go beyond the conditioning stage to the deeper stage. So eagerness, proper regulation of our activities and associating with those that are like-minded who wish to go to reality beyond illusion. Okay, there's two hands that were up before we end. So one, and then Stittadi, and then we're...
Could I just ask a follow-up?
Sure, you got the microphone.
It seems that in these two chapters, in Gita and also in Bhagavatam, there's quite an emphasis on this, but I'm not so aware that it's emphasized so much elsewhere in Prabhupada's books. That's why I guess maybe why I'm a little bit caught, you know, not having really gone into that.
Well, it's emphasized in these chapters because that's what the chapter is about, but it's not that it doesn't appear elsewhere, just the language may not be the same. But you know, you can through folio search put in vibhuti or vibhutis plural. You'll see a lot of hits. It's elsewhere. The emphasis is in places where it's emphasized. Chapter 3, Canto 1 is emphasized. I mean, a little bit, but not as much as over here.
I was very happy to see that the explanation of Vishnu and Krishna was very nice. So this is the essence of Raslila Vars, Vikriditam Rajavodhumi Idam Cha Vishnu.
Yeah.
So Vishnu was playing Raslila with all these gopi girls.
Where'd he go? Oh, there he is. You got, this is your question, getting a nice address. You're paying attention, right? But we're not going to give you the microphone again, though.
That's okay.
Okay. Cool. So you done? So you can look it up later, huh?
What's the text?
There's a comment
in the heart of Radharani. Only that Vishnu is Krishna.
Go look up the verse in commentary and be happy.
Oh, this is the final verse of Raslila.
But this is his question. 10:33:39. Yes? Last question, Stita D.
It was on the, when Krishna's going on about this, I'm the greatest, that section.
Speak into the microphone, please.
The section of the Gita, the opulences of Krishna.
Opulences of Krishna, right?
Yeah, just to play, well, just to explore it, on one level, perhaps there is some metaphoric quality, because as discussed, he is, everything is his, or, you know, those energies, but yet, you know, when we think of something great, he is that opulence in full. You know, he
that's Bhagavan.
Yeah, so that's what he's
doing. That's different than Vibhuti.
True, but he could be doing a couple of things at once as a meditation. Because, you know, like if you say of mountains, you know, the Himalayas the greatest, but compared to Mount Meru, they aren't the greatest. You know, so, you know, it's a but if we think within our earthly experience, mountains are so
great. Well, relative is one term, and metaphor is another. Her question specifically was, is this metaphorical? You can say, you know, depending, if you're a demigod, the Himalayas are not the superlative. So there's relativity or perspective, but it's not metaphorical. Are we in agreement or disagreement?
I think so.
Okay, great.
I'm not saying it's only metaphorical, but metaphorical, there could be a metaphorical quality in it, and then you take one example to then, you know, bring your consciousness to an even grander experience.
Sure, it's a perspective, but it's not metaphorical.
Yeah, as opposed to metaphorical meaning imaginary.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai.